through a translator.
Amanda Knox at the moment is illegally in her own country as a result of the not guilty verdict, which is today overturned.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt calling those comments
a signal that they will at some point try to seek her extradition back to Italy to serve those 26 years in jail.
Knox did not have to be in Italy for the retrial. Federal prosecutors allowed to seek the death penalty for surviving Boston Marathon bombing suspect Johar Tsarnaev. More than making up for yesterday's losses, U.S. markets higher. The Dow up 110, the Nasdaq gained 72. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And now, live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ1A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM, it's time for Q&A with Sandy Moss. Q&A with Sandy Moss is sponsored by the City of Prescott's Water Conservation Program, the Yavapai County Contractors Association, Prescott College, the Northern Arizona Vein Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, the Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Granite Mountain Home Care and Hospice. Now, here's your host for Q&A, Sandy Moss.
Well, there you are. Good to see you on the radio again this sunny, but a little bit chilly Thursday. It's kind of windy out there, too, but I think the good news is it's blowing in a little bit of rain and maybe snow, so we certainly need the moisture. Well, we have an interesting show coming up today. We are going to talk with Nancy Windhart. She's an animal communicator. We'll find out what that is. And then also Ashlyn Braithwaite and Jason Campbell will join us about a production coming up at Yavapai College. So those are our guests for today. First of all, born on this day in history, writer Anton Chekhov, 1860. Franklin D. Roosevelt, 1882. Roy Eldridge, and he was in Gene Krupa's band. 1911, actor Gene Hackman, 1931. You know, he retired, and true to his word, we have not heard from him since. And politician Dick Cheney, 1941, and actress, you may remember her from Peyton Place, Dorothy Malone, born in 1925. So those are the birthdays for today. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out just what an animal communicator does and is with Nancy Windhart. Do stay with us.
Hi, this is Dave Maurer, CEO of the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, talking about jobs. Your local chamber helps create a strong local economy by supporting issues of importance to businesses, making it cost-effective to operate here. Your job depends on the success of your company, and we want your business to succeed. If you own a local business, help us help you. Join the Prescott Chamber of Commerce today. Call 445-2000 or check our website, prescott.org.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fireplace inside Emmanuel Cafe is delightful. Dawn here from Emmanuel Cafe in Prescott Valley, right in front of the hospital. Warm up with a friend over a nice mug of peppermint mocha or a caramel brulee latte. Hungry? I've gotten some gluten-free quiche, gluten-free chocolate cake, or homemade clam chowder with your name on it. We're open 7 days a week, so come visit us sometime. Don't forget, open mic on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Check us out on Facebook or at emmanuelcafe.com.
Steps to reduce the risk of frozen pipes. Repair frozen pipes immediately. If you need emergency assistance, call a licensed plumber offering 24/7 emergency service. If you're going on a trip for an extended period during the winter, be careful how much you lower the heat. If a cold spell occurs and water pipes that normally would be safe freeze and burst, this can spell disaster. For more information, see us on the web at www.prescott-az.gov.
Hybrids save you money, we all know that. But have you heard about a hybrid heating system? Hi, this is Jeremy Rushton with Yavapai Plumbing and Heating. Hybrid heating combines the benefits of both gas and electric to create a system that can actually react to changing conditions and save you up to 50% on your heating bill. Invest in one today and get up to 12 months same as cash or many other finance options on approved credit. Call Yavapai Plumbing and Heating today, 776-7025, or visit us online at ypinc.com. Yavapai Plumbing and Heating.
See all that snow and dirt outside? It's probably inside your home too. Hi, this is Epi Vicente with Service Master Clean. We believe your carpet can be clean, sanitary, and beautiful, even in the winter. We also believe in being honest up front. We give you one price, we stick to it. Our prices are listed right on the business cards and webpage. And you can even schedule online. It's easy to keep your carpets clean this winter. Look for Service Master Clean on Facebook or servicemasterclean.com.
Prescott College.
There's more to us than just a name. Get to know your hometown college. Bachelor's, master's, doctorate, on campus and limited residency. Prescott College at prescott.edu.
Live from the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM KQNA. You're listening to Q&A with Sandy Moss. Once again, here's Sandy.
And we are back on with Nancy Wintart. She's an internationally respected animal communicator, animal communication teacher, and Reiki master teacher based in Cornville. Nice to have you on the show, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having me, Sandy.
Well, we might say that those things that you do, your animal communication consultants are worldwide with clients.
Yeah, you know, and that's really thanks to the internet and things like Skype, which make that very, very doable and easy.
How does it work to communicate? I mean, you call yourself an intuitive, so what do you mean by that?
Well, what I do is I communicate with animals through telepathic communication. And telepathy is actually a universal language. We all share the ability to communicate telepathically, humans included. It's animals' primary language. It's their first language, their most natural way of communicating. And we humans tended to have lost that ability when we acquire our human spoken and written language. But we all have this ability. And so telepathy happens outside the boundaries of location and time and space. And it's basically communicating heart to heart. And so when I communicate with an animal in this way, I may receive images, pictures, sensations, feelings. I may get what the animal is getting through their own body, their own senses. And sometimes I get just a general sense of knowing what's happening with the animal and what they're wanting to communicate. So it can come in all these different ways. And then my job is to translate those things for the animal's person in a way that they can understand so that they can have a two-way conversation with their animal friend.
Now, you know, some of these animals, as you were saying, you never see them. You talk to the person who owns them over the phone and you sense them. I mean, that's an amazing thing. It's almost like remote viewing.
Yeah, you know, it's actually very similar to remote viewing in some ways. And I liken it to really just kind of dialing into the right radio frequency, you know, dialing into the right radio station. And that happens very, very easily. It happens through the animal's connection with their person and the person's connection with their animal. Generally, it's the person who's calling me for help, and then we work with their animal. I also like to see a photo of an animal that I'm working with. I don't need that to do the work, but it's nice to have that, or just a description of the animal. And that's enough to tune into, you know, which particular black cat I'm talking with that lives with this particular person in this particular place in the world. So,
'cause can messages get a little confused sometimes where you have such a broad, you know, area to practice in, I guess?
Can you clarify that question a little
bit?
I'm
not thinking,
sure what you're asking.
Like maybe other animals in the household or something that you're talking about.
Can happen. And so it's really important for me to stay focused on who I'm working with at any particular time. But definitely, you know, other animals can pop in, and they'll generally give me a mental picture of either what their body looks like or something about their personality or their characteristics that will make them easily identifiable. But yep, that can happen. And just like with humans, it's usually a simple matter of just saying, you know, let me finish talking to Sparky here, and then you'll have your turn.
Oh, okay. Everybody wants to talk at once.
Yeah.
So when did this first start happening to you, or you first realized that you could do this, Nancy?
Well, I guess I'd have to say as a child, I did it naturally, as many children do, without really realizing that it was anything unusual. It was part of my childhood when I was very young. My grandparents had a dairy farm, and I would spend long hours in the barn with the animals just hanging out and connecting. And I didn't even really think about it as communicating. I just thought about it as being with them and sharing with them and understanding them, and they understood me. And then as I got older, of course, like many people of my generation, you know, I'm almost 50 and so middle-aged, and it was not at the time that we were growing up, you know, a very widely accepted thing to talk about what the dog had just told you. And so, so I, you know, my life took other turns. I went on to have a whole other career in the music world and did a lot of different things. And when the interest in telepathic communication really came back to me was when I adopted my first dog as an adult. And we'd always had family dogs, but this was my very first dog on my own. And I adopted him from an animal shelter, and it turned out that there was an animal communicator who volunteered her services for this shelter. And I watched her work, and I heard and saw what she did and the changes that she made for the animals in this shelter. And it was like a light went on for me. And somewhere from way back, I remembered, oh, yeah, I know what this is. I can feel this, you know. I know. Mm-hmm. I used to do this. And so I became very, very fascinated and tried to learn and study and read everything I could, and then began to practice. And so I did many years in animal rescue work, and those animals were some of my best teachers because they really, really helped me. And then eventually I ended up doing some formal professional training to learn how to do this work professionally as my job.
Wow. That's interesting. You know, when you say that it's not something you tell people, it's certainly not widely accepted theory, I guess, in our world today, is it?
Well, you know, Sandy, it's changing, and this is one of the most exciting things for me and for, you know, those of us who do this work. There are actually a lot of us doing this work now. It's very different than it was when the early pioneers started back in the early 70s, you know, really, really doing this work. And what I found through my teaching and through my work is that more and more it is becoming accepted and understood and widely known, and more than people think. And I've learned, you know, to not assume when somebody asks me what I do for work, to not assume that they will think I'm, you know, just some kind of woo-woo person over here living next to Sedona, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the people who have what would appear to be the most conservative lifestyles and conservative beliefs are very, very open to this because they've experienced it in one way or another with animals that they know and love. And that's the thing, you know, you start talking with animal people about their animals, and it just opens us up because we all love our animals. And almost every person who has lived and had a close relationship with an animal will have had some experience with knowing what is going on with that animal in a way that is not explainable by science. And once we can tap into that commonplace, then everything else can unfold.
Amazing. Now, what kind of issues do you help animals and their people with, Nancy?
It can be really anything. You know, generally people call for my help when they're experiencing a difficulty. So that may be something like a behavior problem, a difficult illness that they're wanting their animal friends input on with respect to treatment options, that kind of thing. I work a lot with rescued animals where the people want to know more about their background, what may have happened to them, and that can also include doing some healing work if the animal has experienced trauma. Sometimes people just want to understand their animal better, and I love those kinds of consultations because we can just talk about, you know, why the animal is in their life and what their relationship is, what they have to learn from each other, where they can grow. Another common kind of session that I'll do is end of life. So if the person and their animal are facing that end of life separation and are needing to make some decisions about care and euthanasia and that kind of thing, that can be a very, very deep and holy time to work together. And
because that's one of the hardest things, I think, when you have an animal, because they are a child to you or certainly a member of the family. And, you know, because we are able to help them go earlier than maybe they otherwise would if they're in pain or something, it's hard. I find that to be such a difficult decision. Is it the right time? Should we do it now? You know, should we wait? You know, to make that decision to let your animal go on is so hard. So
And that's where it can be just really helpful to talk with the animal. What do you want? You know, and how do you, you know, how will you let me know? What's your perspective? Are you, you know, is this quality of life enough for you, or are you done? And many, many times animals can communicate very clearly about those things and let their people know, yes, it's time, or no, it's not time yet. I can share a story about that if we have time.
Oh, yes. Tell us.
I'm thinking of a dog that I worked with, his person called me because the dog had been diagnosed with a very aggressive kind of cancer. And it was a tumor, if I'm remembering correctly, I believe it was on one of his internal organs. I want to say the liver or something like that. But, you know, it was very big, and there was the veterinarian had said there was a real chance that this thing could burst, and it would cause a very, very difficult and painful death for the dog. And so the recommendation was that my client consider euthanasia. And so she had made the appointment, and she called me to have a, you know, what she thought would be the last session with her, with, you know, last conversation with her dog. And the dog was an older guy at this point. I think he was probably 13 or 14 years old. And I'm not sure that I've ever heard an animal be so emphatic about, no, this is not my time. I don't want to go to the vet. Cancel the appointment. I mean, he practically, if he could have yelled, he would have. And he was so, so clear. He said, I'm not ready to go. I'm not going to go yet. No, it's not time. And so she did. She did cancel the appointment, and she looked into some other treatments, and she got him on some holistic treatments with acupuncture and Chinese herbs, and you know, devoted her life to finding the best care for him. And this dog lived over, I believe he lived something like 14 or 15 months past that time. And when he finally died, and in that time, you know, he and his person were able to just have this very, very sweet time of relationship where he had a very good quality of life, and they were able to do the things that they had always done, go for walks, go to the dog park. She's a dog groomer. He, you know, he would go to the shop with her. He had a great time and had very little discomfort or pain. And when he finally died, it was not from the cancer, but he just walked across. They were on a walk. He walked across the street to the park, and something happened. They figure it with his heart, and he just laid down and died, and was gone almost instantaneously in a very, very peaceful, gentle way.
Boy, I would certainly wish that for all of ourselves, let alone our pets and animals, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you also say that you can help find missing or lost animals sometimes.
Yeah, I can, and it's, you know, it's not a guarantee. The very tricky thing about lost and missing animals is that just because you get where they are and what their environment is, and where they kind of what's happening to them, it may or may not be information that is actually helpful in finding them. And so,
because they may not know where they are. Is that
exactly
kind of it?
Okay. Exactly. They may not know, and they don't, you know, very, very infrequently can they give, you know, things that are identifiable, like street signs and road numbers and that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and so a dog lost in the woods, is going to show, you know, pictures of trees and undergrowth and, you know, the smells and the sights and the sounds, but that may be not be enough to actually find that dog in the forest.
Mm.
And so one of the other ways that I work with lost and missing animals, if I feel that they are still alive and in their bodies, is to guide the person with my help to creating a link with their heart and with their energy field to, sometimes I call it like the yellow brick road, you know, to help to guide the animal home, because very often they can feel that better than they can sense, you know, the direction and where to go. It's my feeling that that is that kind of thing is responsible for some of these amazing stories that you hear of animals traveling thousands of miles to find their people.
I love it. Like the Incredible Journey, you know, Disney's movie. It's like, oh my gosh, I still love it. I couldn't watch it and make me cry, but it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
We need to take a little break, Nancy. And for those who may have just tuned in, we're talking with Nancy Windhart. She's an internationally respected animal communicator and animal communication teacher. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back and find out more about other animals she can communicate with right after this.
Yavapai Regional Medical Center would like to thank you for partnering with us as we enhance the health of our community. By spending your healthcare dollars here at home, you're making the Quad City area a healthier place to live. We're a not-for-profit hospital, so every dollar after expenses stays right here at home. Rather than lining the pockets of out-of-town shareholders, the money goes to fund important programs here in our community, such as health education curriculum in our schools. It also allows us to recruit highly qualified physicians so that we can keep up with our area's growing needs. It's a win-win partnership. You receive top-quality health care without leaving your hometown. And you're supporting YRMC's mission to enhance the overall level of health for everyone who lives here. Together, we make the Quad City area a better place to live.
Why hire just an agent when you can put a team to work for you? This is John Hardy with the Hardy Team. I've assembled a team of experts to perform every aspect of real estate with excellence. Our results speak for themselves. In the last 5 years, the average agent has sold less than 6 homes per year, while the Hardy Team has sold over 1,000 homes, and we can sell yours too.
Put the Hardy Team to work for you. Call John Hardy Realty today at 445-2400. That's 445-2400.
Looking for a family doctor? I'm Dr. Doug Campbell of Oaklawn Family Practice. Listening and understanding are all part of a complete treatment package. Because every situation and person is unique, your treatment should be personalized. If you're looking for a doctor whose main interest is your family's health, look no further than Oaklawn Family Practice. I'm Dr. Campbell. Call me today to schedule your appointment at 445-5339 or Google Oaklawn Family Practice.
Honey, you know I don't want to tell you how to parent.
But
I heard you last night encouraging Josh to go to tech school.
Mountain Institute, JTED.
Josh, he's a very smart boy and a 4-year degree.
He can still go to college. These are high school electives with college credit.
Going to vocational school just seems...
Mountain Institute is not Grandpa's vocational school.
I'm not judging, but... Cooking?
Culinary arts, yes. But also robotics, sports medicine, welding, nursing, aviation.
Well, I don't want to tell you what to do.
Plus, he can graduate high school trained and certified in a real skill.
Okay, maybe I do want to tell you what to do. You know, I was not born yesterday.
You can say that again.
Oh.
Mom, employers can't fill millions of high-paying jobs because high school and college graduates don't have the skills.
Well, that's just crazy. Why wouldn't you encourage him to go to Mountain Institute? That's a no-brainer.
I am.
Well, I'm glad I helped you figure that out.
Me too.
Anything else I can help you with?
No, I don't think so.
Mountain Institute. Get trained, get certified, get hired. Enroll now at mijted.net.
Live from the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM KQNA. You're listening to Q&A with Sandy Moss. Once again, here's Sandy.
And we are back on with Nancy Windhart. She's an internationally respected animal communicator. We've been talking about some of the issues that she deals with when she communicates with animals, which is a fascinating thing. I guess we all if we pay attention, can sense what our animals want or feel to an extent. But sometimes it's a conundrum. You know, I had, well, for instance, I had a cat and I had you help me with him because I had rescued him, this big, wonderful Maine Coon, and he stopped eating. He just wouldn't eat. And he lost about half his body weight and he had so much fur. It took me a little while to figure that out because, you know, there was food out for everybody. I figured he was eating. And, you know, he'd just gone through some sad stuff. His person had died and he'd had a bad caretaker. But, you know, you were so good and so kind. I was so distressed. Should I artificially feed him or should I just let him go? And, you know, you were a great comfort in that. I did end up, you know, he intubated him, whatever they call it, put a little tube in his neck, which sounds really gross, but it was fine. Cats don't really notice. And he almost immediately started eating on his own after, you know, about a week or something. And anyway, he's turned out to be a wonderful cat. He was just in mourning. But unfortunately, he would not have made it through the mourning period had we not interfered. So.
Right. And what I remember about, you know, that consultation and talking with you and him was, you know, that he had, you know, and clearly he was also having a physical issue, you know, that was creating the discomfort, as I'm remembering, and that was what he needed to kind of get him over that hump, you know, and get him restarted. But he was very willing to do that. I remember that clearly. He was willing to accept that treatment.
Yeah, he was a good sport about it. I tell you, he was such a good sport. It was amazing. Yes, I think he had not eaten for long enough that his liver really had gone bad on him.
Yes, So. So I remember you worked with your veterinarian, and that was the recommended treatment, and he was willing. And like you say, he bounced back, and he got through that. And I'm so glad to hear that he's still doing so well.
Oh, Captain Morgan, he's a great guy. Yeah, we like him. He's a sweetie, so I'm really glad that it worked out. But it was a wild time. But again, it was such a comfort for, you know, to have you there interceding to kind of confirm what I thought and to help me with something I might not understand and say, well, this is how he's feeling. And, you know, I'm sure that you get a lot of naysayers. I'm sure there's people listening who are just going, oh, really? What do you say to people like that?
You know, really not much of anything.
Not much. You don't talk to
really
them.
To say, except that it's okay. You know, it's okay to be skeptical. And I embrace that, and I welcome people who are skeptical to work with me and to take my classes if they want to, you know, or not. People will come to this when it feels right to them. And the one thing that I do really like to talk with people about is just kind of demystifying this. This is not something that is unusual and strange, and it's also not something that is just for a few gifted people. Telepathic communication is an ability that we all have. We're born with this. It's our birthright. We come in with it. Babies and young children communicate telepathically with their parents all the time. And people often will call it parents' intuition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it happens all the time. It happens between human family members who are close, people who are partners, people who are living in the same family. You'll just know who, you know, what's going on with your kid who might be halfway across the country. You'll know who's on the phone before
That's
the
right.
phone rings.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And people have those kinds of experiences, and they just don't recognize them for what they are or pay attention to them because we just tend to discount them, particularly in our Western cultures where we're very, very focused on the scientific and the rational and the intellectual. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just one slice of the pie. And there's a whole other, you know, many, many other slices of the pie that are available if we just pay attention to them. So this is something that we all do. It's something that we all can do. And my work with people as a teacher is really just to help to remove the layers that prevent us from communicating in this way and from feeling and seeing in this way. And so it's not something that's mysterious. It's actually a very, very natural ability that is inborn in all of us.
We're so, you know, I think because we're physical beings and, you know, we can touch it, we can see it, we, you know, everything seems tangible to us. Whether it is or not, that's a whole scientific conundrum. But nevertheless, we feel like it's tangible. So I think anything that is not touchable, seeable, tasteable, we doubt it. You're right. My husband and I have been together long enough that, I have to be careful what I think, because doggone it, he just picks it right up and will start talking out of the blue about something. And I go, I was just thinking that, and vice versa. So it really is. I guess the thing between humans and animals that, even though we're mammals, but somehow because they can't talk physically, we somehow think, nor can they communicate.
But. Right. And that's the fundamental misperception. That just because they do not speak in our language, that they do not communicate. And so that's where I like to really, I call myself an animal communicator rather than an animal psychic, because it really is just communication. I happen to be very, very fluent in the language of telepathy, just like somebody else may be very fluent in Chinese or Spanish, you know? And so, it comes naturally to me. It comes easily to me. I'm fluent in it. But anyone who has the desire and the interest can also learn this language.
That's amazing. Well, you also say that you can communicate with animals who have died.
Yeah. Yeah, and it works the same way because my belief and the foundation of my work is that we are all sentient, aware, conscious, spiritual beings, that we all have an essence in us, whether, whatever your religious or spiritual tradition is, you may call it soul, you may call it consciousness, whatever language, the language doesn't matter, but that each being who is alive has this essence that is more than the physical body. Mm-hmm. And so this is the essence that I am communicating with an animal, whether they are in their body or whether they are in the spirit world. And the process of telepathic communication works the same way. And the information can come in the same way. And particularly if an animal's person is having a very hard time and is in a lot of grief, the animal will often communicate things to me that will be very confirming for their person, things that only the person would know, things that are very particular to that animal and their life together.
Well, give us a story, if you've got one, Nancy.
Let me see if I can come up with a great example of one of these. Worked with a family, actually, whose dog had passed, and this is a couple, and they were really, really grieving, and some things had happened. It was a kind of a sudden and a traumatic death, and so they were wondering, if they had done the right thing, if they had made the right decisions at the end of their beloved dog's life, and then what her experience was afterwards. And she was able to go back and show me, and they didn't give me a lot of information about what had happened, but she was able to go back and show me precisely the experiences that she had had at the very end of her life when she was at the veterinary hospital and she was dying and gave very, very specific things about what was said and what was done and what her experience was and what her person's experience was and what her relationship had been with the women that she lived with. And the kinds of things that they did together in their lives. And the information came through in such a way that it's very clear to them that this was their dog, it was their dog. The experiences that they had had with her were very unique and very particular in that in that last day or so of her life. And she was able to show me that so that I could communicate that to them and also give them her perspective of what had happened. And really help them through their grieving process.
And some kind of comfort for the decisions and
things.
Yeah,
exactly. That they had actually done exactly the right things and that had they made different choices, there would not have been a different outcome.
I tell you, that is a great gift. That would be a great gift.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, we need to take a little break here. We are going to hear some news and some more sponsors talk to us a bit. And then there's another kind of animal that Nancy can communicate with. And when we come back, we'll find out just what that is. We're talking with Nancy Windhart, internationally respected animal communicator. Do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Take your traditional ideas of homeownership and throw them out the window. This is James Rausch of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Wallach & Volk has been your local lender for over 80 years. We make it easy, understandable, affordable for even the first-time homebuyer. Many of us qualify for an incredibly small down payment. It is probably less than what you're paying for rent every month. Call Wallach & Volk Mortgage Lenders, 445-8730.
An equal opportunity lender, license number 00128295, MLO number 0914083, corporate NMLS number 2973, and NMLS number 160209.
Hybrids save you money, we all know that. But have you heard about a hybrid heating system? Hi, this is Jeremy Rushton with Yavapai Plumbing and Heating. Hybrid heating combines the benefits of both gas and electric to create a system that can actually react to changing conditions and save you up to 50% on your heating bill. Invest in one today and get up to 12 months same as cash or many other finance options on approved credit. Call Yavapai Plumbing and Heating today, 776-7025, or visit us online at ypinc.com. Yavapai Plumbing and Heating.
We live in a time where almost every car company is making wonderful cars. Among the top manufacturers, there's really very little difference between their products. If you compare a Nissan Altima, Honda Accord, and Toyota Camry, you'll find that all of them are nearly perfect. So how do you decide which one to purchase? This is Ed Walsh, General Manager of Lamb Nissan, and I believe that going forward, the difference is going to be service. I've always said that anybody can sell you a car. What makes the difference is the service you receive after the sale. At Lamb Nissan, we found that after we service a customer's car for a few years, we very rarely lose them to a competing manufacturer. If you see someone driving a Lamb Nissan car around town, I would encourage you to strike up a conversation and ask them about our service department. Sometimes, it's not about finding a better car. It's about finding a better car dealership. Please come see us at Lamb Nissan, the house that service built.
This is Robin Christie with Granite Mountain Home Care, Hospice, and Private Duty. Happy to say we're celebrating 20 years in Yavapai County. As the final question on our survey to patients and families, we ask, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the care provided by our Granite Mountain team? Here's a recent response.
Thank you and the entire hospice team for the services provided to my Aunt Sally during the last chapter of her full and vibrant life. Thank you for seeing her as the special person that she was, caring for her and treating her with dignity and respect. Our family is grateful for the suggestions, support, and follow-through that clearly represented the intent of and ideals of hospice care. Please know that your work was appreciated.
For your healthcare needs, choose Granite Mountain Home Care, Hospice, and Private Duty. Named Home Care Elite, top 25% agencies nationwide, in the area supporting the community for 20 years with care to promote healing, provide hope, and preserve dignity. Call 928-445-2522. Thank you.
We're the talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thank you for making the